When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Costello, the runner at third. Posey does have the green light. Hits that one hard into right field. That is way back and goodbye! Buster Posey! A two-run blast! And the Giants are on the board first.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The Buster Posey home run right there, of course, one of his many great moments. Are there now more coming as an executive? We're going to get to all of it. But also, hell, it's been a day of a lot of breaking news. Yeah. Man, social media is rocking and rolling from the idea that Farhan Zaidi has been let go. Buster Posey is now in. Christian McCaffrey with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Dikembe Mutombo has passed away, and we just got word that Pete Rose has also passed away today at age 83. And we go out to the River Islands guest line and bring on our very good buddy, Dave Fleming. Dave, before we get to everything with the Giants, wanted to give you an opportunity to say some things about that. Pete Rose, the hit king, has passed away.
Well, I didn't know until you just said it. So that's brand news to me. Tragic figure in sports in a lot of ways. I mean, the highs and the lows are, it's hard to match sort of the gamut of his career. I always lean on, you know, Mike Kruko played with Pete Rose in Philadelphia and had some amazing things to say about Pete as a teammate. And I think, you know, he was so admirable as a player on the field. Nobody's ever played harder, more consistently. Nobody's ever shown more respect for the game on the field as a player than he did, which makes it even more sort of confusing and tragic what happened after he was done playing. He did not bathe himself in glory or class after his career was over, but I hope he's remembered for an all-time great player. He was an all-time great player.
And he crested 200 hits, I believe, 10 times in his career. And just thinking about the hit king and 4,256 hits, is that sort of a approach to the game? Is that now a bygone idea where a guy would go out there and just try to get knocks?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Luis Arraez is doing it. I think there are some other guys who are maybe trending in that direction. The Giants have a kid in their minor league system, Wade Meckler, who we saw last year in the big league level, who is sort of a style like that. I think with the new rules, I think there's a chance that we see some of those players start to come back. Clearly, there's nobody like Pete Rose out there right now. But I think the game is trending back towards where we might see more, at least, hitters who style themselves like that. There might never be another Pete Rose exactly, but I think Jung Ho Lee has a chance to be that kind of hitter as he matures and develops. So I hope that's not true. Baseball is more fun when you got guys like that around.
Yeah, no doubt. And who knows? Maybe that's going to be part of the new philosophy of the San Francisco Giants as we get a regime change. So Dave Fleming with us on Willard and Dibs. Farhan Zaidi is out. Buster Posey is in. And I guess sort of the two-pronged question is, what do you think this will mean for the emotion of the fan base? And then what do you think it'll mean for the baseball?
Well, the fan base is obviously going to be energized by this. I mean, it's no secret that the fan base, and I understand why, has been very cranky over the last year or two. And I think there's a couple reasons why. Number one, the Giants just have not won as many games as they expected to or believe they should have. So that gets everybody cranky when you feel like you're underachieving, when you feel like you're not making progress. Number two, it's just an incredible contrast over the last few years of what's going on with the Giants' main rivals down in L.A. And so I think those two things together have made everybody really unhappy around here. and, you know, probably hastened the decision that got made today. Not just the bottom line results for the Giants, but also the contrast with what has happened year after year with the Dodgers. So I think that's, I think Giants fans are going to be energized by the fact that it's Buster. I mean, Buster is just a beloved and deservedly so part of this baseball family. He means, I think he embodies what the Giants fans believe this team means culturally. You know, Buster sort of is the perfect emblem of modern Giants baseball. So everybody believes he's smart, he's capable, he's motivated, he's serious, he's determined, all those things. So I'm sure Giants fans are happy about that.
What does Buster inherit as a contrast to what Farhan inherited? Because it seemed like Farhan came in as the aging championship core was being turned over. What does Buster come into now as far as the farm goes and the roster and what the upside is in the near future for this franchise?
Those are hard questions to answer, I would say. I mean, I think he inherits a better situation than the Giants had following 2018. The Giants were not in a very good place organizationally in 2018. And they have, and Farhan deserves some credit for, a lot of credit for getting this franchise in a better position than it was then. That argument carried more weight for me a few years ago. In other words, like 6 years is a long time, even with COVID sprinkled in the middle of it. And I think, you know, there is an expectation that there would have been more progress on that front, but it's hard to deny that the player development hasn't been pretty robust these last couple of years. There are a lot of development success stories at the big league level. They're young players who I don't know if you're going to call them building blocks. I think they are. I mean, maybe not superstar players, although some of the pitchers I think have a chance to be star level players, but certainly you got young talent that can fill your roster. You have a minor league system that is not nearly good enough yet. I mean, the Giants, I think one of the main things, one of the main reasons why this all happened today is even with some of the successes, the overall strength of the system just isn't as robust as it needs to be. But you got a young first baseman who's got a chance to be really, really good, who's going to be here sooner rather than later in Bryce Eldridge. So I think overall it's in a better place than it was in 2018. It's just, this is 6 years from then, and it probably needed to be in a better place even more so.
Dave Fleming with us. I mean, I'd love to hear maybe even a little bit more on that. When you look back on the Farhan Zaidi era, because I love listening to you talk about this because you will point out all of it, right? The good and the bad. But when you look at the whole thing, what really was it that didn't work?
Well, I would say two things that come to mind immediately. Number one, first round draft picks did not work very well. And Patrick Bailey is a big exception, and Bryce Eldridge looks like he's going to be a massive exception. And if that turns out to be the case, then one of the legacies of Farhan's era here is going to be that kid who has a chance to be a big time star for the Giants. And I think that would very much change Farhan's legacy, you know, looking ahead if Bryce Eldridge turns into that kind of player. But otherwise, you got, you know, a high round draft pick track record that didn't produce enough impact. And it's not just impact that gets to the big league level. It's impact that you use in trades, in deals, in being creative. It's something we've seen the teams in the National League West do. All of them. Dodgers have done it. Padres have done it. Diamondbacks have done it. Use your assets to make trades and make deals. And for some reason, the Giants just have not done any of that. Like, there just have been no attempts to find matches in trades where maybe your talent and somebody else's talent, whether it's a challenge trade with prospects, whether it's flipping some young guys for veterans or vice versa. That just didn't happen over the last 6 years, almost without exception. You know, there were a lot of good trades at a lower level. Lamont Wade is a great trade. Giants killed that trade, but it didn't move the needle enough on the big league level to sort of mitigate what these other teams have done. So I think that's, you know, that's part of it for me. I think the other thing that just didn't work very well was this strategy of trying to patch together the big league roster with short-term contracts, with opt-outs. I think it's a really hard... I know why Farhan did it. I know why the Giants have done it. There are lots of good reasons why, but I think we ran an experiment over these last years that also shows why it's hard to develop roster chemistry, roster continuity in building your team that way. And I think that was, you know, that's ultimately a big part of the story of these last few years. So many contracts like that. And when you line them all up, not a lot of them worked out very well.
Does that become the challenge for Buster Posey, Dave, to find a way to attract and sign and bring in these high-priced guys? Or is the ballpark too much of a preventative factor, especially when it comes to signing free agent offensive players?
I think it is a complicated question. I think the ballpark is definitely a detriment when you're talking about the historic level talents, the guys like Harper, Ohtani, Judge, who want to go to the Hall of Fame and put up record-setting numbers. I do believe when they have choices that they choose to go to a place that can help their numbers more. And that's just a fact. And maybe Buster's going to actually consider, you know, moving in the fences or reconfiguring Oracle Park a little bit to account for that. I think it's at least worth considering. Because I do think it's, it's not just attracting free agents. It's also like, are your own homegrown players becoming less productive than they would be because they change their approach due to the ballpark or they get discouraged because of the ballpark? I mean, the Michael Conforto thing this year is just amazing. The difference between Michael on the road and at home, his offensive numbers, and it's eye-opening. And you don't want that. You don't want your home ballpark to somehow be a disadvantage for your own players. But I ultimately think that in almost all cases, money wins. Money and proof that you are a winning franchise and a franchise committed to winning. And if Buster can deliver a better big league team consistently, then I think the free agent signings can follow. I do.
So, Dave, I've seen it suggested by some in the beat writing community today that this move brings Juan Soto back into play. Do you buy that?
I don't. I don't want to throw a bucket of cold water on that idea, but I don't see Juan's. I don't think, Juan Soto, the Padres have it going on right now. Padres have this amazing thing happening with their franchise over the last couple of years. It did not go well for Juan Soto there, and I think he is a guy who's very attached to playing closer to home. He's been much more comfortable in both Washington and New York than he was out here. He had a good year with the Padres, but it's obviously unlocked a whole nother level of performance being in New York. So my guess is that unless the Giants just decided, screw it, we're just making an offer that he can't say no to, my guess is that that he's going to be focused on playing closer to the East Coast.
How much or how many, rather, Dave, other changes would you anticipate with Buster Posey taking this role? Is it scouting? Is it a general manager? I'm not asking you to name specific people, but when you have something like this happen, how much would you anticipate bigger changes ahead?
Big changes, I think, are coming. I do. I think there will be a lot of front office changes. There'll be some coaching staff changes. There'll be player development changes. I think part of why this is happening is the Giants were less than thrilled with what was going on under the hood, up and down the organization. And, some of that's reflected in just pure player development. Some of that's reflected in communication with your staff up and down your organization, all that kind of stuff. Well, I think it's natural. It's just independent of all that. I think it's natural for somebody who's taking over to have an opinion about the types of people and the sort of the philosophies that person wants in place. I mean, I guarantee there will be a GM, whoever that is. Buster needs some big time help in terms of, I have full faith that Buster can do this job. Smart, driven, motivated people can figure out how to do this. It's complicated, but it's not that complicated. Like he can do this job, but you need some help on just the rules, transactions, day-to-day nuts and bolts stuff. If you've never worked in a front office, he's familiar with all that stuff and how it works sitting on the executive committee, but he probably needs somebody who really has some experience and know-how in that regard to help him out. So I'm sure they're going to be interviewing some people for some high-level front office positions, assistant GM, you know, whether it's a full-time GM or however they structure it. I think we'll see a bunch of changes.
Dave Fleming with us, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Dave, I kind of already asked you about the fan morale. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I've certainly heard whispers over the last couple of years that the morale of the organization has been hit at times. What do you think this move does for the morale inside the building, not just outside?
Well, I mean, I think that just having Buster around more makes everybody happy. Like, that's independent of anything that's been going on or how anybody has felt about the last few years. I think if you're hearing stuff about the morale and inside baseball kind of stuff, I think most of that has to do with not winning enough. Like, winning cures everything at this level. And when you don't win the way you expect to, morale isn't good. It just isn't. And so I do think most of those kinds of things get overblown. Like, if the bottom line is, when you're not performing the way you want to, nobody is happy. Everybody's cranky. But I think internally, like, there's nobody who's come through the Giants organization, maybe ever, who's had more respect universally than Buster. It's just a fact. He's just, you know, Buster is an amazing person. He's got so many.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Different skills and some that aren't as apparent as others. Like, you know, Buster, everybody knows Buster was a great Hall of Fame talent as a player. He's going to the Hall of Fame in 2 years when he's eligible to be voted in. But, you know, he also was like the toughest guy down there, the player most likely to hold other players accountable. Like, Buster is no pushover, like, not at all. There will be a set of expectations in this organization that if they're not met, there will be consequences. Like, Buster is a very serious guy, but in the best way. Like, I'm going to do my job, you do your job. And I think that's what everybody has always loved about Buster, and I think that makes him a good fit for this particular spot.
And he's got a little bit of credibility too, Dave, which can't hurt.
He's got a lot of credibility.
Yeah, when you've done what he's done. When you look back at this year, which players are you most excited about heading into next year? Guys who maybe popped, who you didn't anticipate doing as well as they had?
The guy that comes to mind when you first say that is Birdsong. I think Hayden Birdsong's got the stuff and the ability to be a top-level starting pitcher in the big leagues. He's got work to do. He's got, in fact, he's got a lot of work to do to get there. But he's got the tool set to be big time. And I didn't expect that from him. I didn't know much about him. I hadn't seen much about him. But I really, really was impressed with him. And I think Buster, you know, one thing Buster always knew and watched, you know, what plays in this sport, high-level starting pitching plays in this sport. And I think Buster knows that and really values that. And I think Hayden Birdsong can be a big part of the Giants' future. I think Kyle Harrison can too. But Kyle, you know, Kyle also is a guy who has a lot of work to do at a young age, but a lot of work to do to get to that level. And that's good. Like, it's almost never the case where somebody just shows up and they're a finished product. It's never the case. So those two guys can be bedrock players for the Giants going forward. But Birdsong's the one that when you first asked that, he's the first name that sprung to my mind of a guy like, wow, I just was blown away by how talented that young guy is.
Dave, should we have seen this coming? And here's what I mean by that. Like, this whole thing today made me think back to when he moved the family from Georgia to the Bay Area, which surprised me then. But I feel today like, gosh, we should have known that a more front-facing, day-to-day operations type of gig might be in the future. To what level did that surprise you? And you know, like should we have known this all along? Has this been the plan?
Well, I think I was still surprised by it. I was. And I know Buster really well. Like, Buster and I are friends. I see him. I talk to him. But I was still surprised by this. And just because, you know, I did believe him, and I think it's not like he was lying when he said he wanted to scale back when he retired and be around his family more. And he's still, you know, you can be a family guy and do this job, but this is a big job, a big time commitment. And so that part of it did surprise me. The place where I think what you're getting at and where maybe we could have seen this coming is, you know, if you listen closely to Buster over the last year and the things he said about the Giants and helping the franchise recruit players and his role on the executive board and all that stuff, what comes through to me is, and even just moving back here and being back in the Bay Area, like, Buster cares so much about this franchise. He does, like, deeply in his soul. He cares about the Giants, and it hurt him. Like, when you listen to Buster over the last few years, it hurt him that things weren't going as well as they did in his last year as a player. And so I think that's maybe where he sent out some clues that maybe we could have picked up on, that there was going to come a point where he felt like, hey, I need to do something about it. If I care that much, I need to step up and do something about it.
Dave, it's fantastic to have your perspective today, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
I think everybody should be excited. I mean, whatever you think about Buster Posey in a good way is true. Like, he's the real deal.
Yep.
So I think everybody should be excited about today and what this means for the Giants. Having Buster around is going to be a really, really good thing.
Hey, do you think Bryce Eldridge makes his major league debut at some point next year?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
That's a good answer.
Yes, I do. That's the correct answer, Dave.
That's a good
I think we're seeing more of it across the game, like, push your young, talented players up. And part of that is the weirdness of minor league baseball these days. I know we're running out of time.
No,
I won't go
right.
long
you're,
on this.
You're
but,
right.
I, but I think, you know, we saw this year, Ramos, Fitzgerald, Birdsong, like, getting to the big leagues and then learning often accelerates development in today's game. You know, there's just something going on in the minor leagues right now, whether it's, you know, talent dispersion or ballpark weirdness in the Pacific Coast League or whatever. It's harder to develop skills in the minor leagues. And so I think with your really talented guys, you know, not only is it like, hey, let's get this guy up here and see if he can help us win games. It's also like, how can we get the best out of him fastest? Often the answer to that, in my opinion, is by getting that player to the big leagues with your big league coaches, get that experience and see where it takes you. The guy's very, very talented, very talented.
Opening day?
Not out of the question. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But not out of the question.
Woo! Born in 2004, Dave, if you need to feel old.
He's turning 20 3 weeks from today.
My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, and like, look at, you know, there's a team going to the playoffs, Jackson Churio, and another team going to the playoffs, the Padres, who wouldn't be going without a 20-year-old.
Yep.
Jackson Merrill and Churio both. For the Brewers and the Padres, both those teams lean so hard on those young guys. And Churio, you know, the first 2 months or so wasn't that pretty. And by the time we saw him late in the year, he was one of the best players in the league.
Dave, phenomenal. Thank you so much, my friend.
Talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
The best.
Most definitely. Dave Fleming.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
good
Dave
day
Fleming.
For the Giants. Yeah. All right.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.